This is Amanda Steinhoff reading Chapter 3 of Lily and the Golden Lute. Chapter 3, The Storm. A thunderous noise echoed about the cabin. The ship pitched wildly, and I had to grab at the large table to maintain balance. Captain Yuki simply glowered upward, towards the sky above the deck, as if it, along with the sea, were petulant children she was forced to watch over. She stormed from the room, not minding the swaying floor. Samuel and I staggered behind in her wake. No sooner had we emerged from below deck than a wave slammed against the ship. Walls of water poured from above, and bolts of lightning shot up and down in every other direction. "Do you want the bloody mast to crack?" Captain Yuki shouted over the din. "Antonia, Sergid, get those sails down now!" "Aye, aye, Captain," Antonia shouted and shimmied up the main mast, followed by Sergid and several others. Aaliyah rushed up to the captain. "Foul work, Captain. Devil's work. Black magic for sure. Something's haunting these waters," Aaliyah cried. "Nonsense! We've sailed this region thousands of times," I said. "I tell you, this is no natural storm." The captain nodded in agreement. "Do what you can against it, and we'll try to keep up. Get to it." "Aye, aye!" Aaliyah vanished into the torrential rain. The mast groaned as another gust slammed against the sails. The Revenge shuddered with the cracking of wood. "They're not going fast enough! Need to cut them loose!" Captain Yuki screamed. "Care for a stroll?" She gestured upward with her chin with a mad smirk. I nodded and tore off my fancy velvet cape. This was a time for real seamanship, not fashion. Up the mast we went, feeling the thrill of danger coursing through my veins until it bubbled in my mouth with a sharp taste. Or perhaps it was just the taste of blood from carrying my dagger between my teeth as I climbed. Antonia and the others had tackled the mainsail, which took a fair amount of pressure off the mast. The remaining three sails, however, were still catching too much wind. I scurried further upward, stopping at the topsail yard. Just as I stepped from the mast to the yard, the ship jerked underneath me. My hands flailed out, but my fingers found little purchase on the wet wood. I could only hang on with one hand, and my fingers were beginning to slip. A long fall greeted me should my tenuous grasp fail me completely. That was if a tidal wave didn't toss me out to sea first. I ripped the dagger from between my teeth and plunged it into the yard. Every second the cold rain pelted me, bruising my skin, freezing the very marrow in my bones, and robbing me of strength. A mere mortal would have cried out in pain or turned back. Not a pirate. A pirate takes it and dishes it right back. "Gar, ye wicked wench, curse the sea!" I shouted, and pulled myself up. Dagger back in my teeth, I crawled down the yard, the long wooden crossbeams from which the soaked sail flapped and pulled in the wind. Feeling my legs as secure around the beam as possible, I hacked with mad fury at the ropes binding the cloth. "Move farther down so I can take this part here," a voice called from behind me. I dared a glance over my shoulder. Samuel Reed clung to the mast. Maneuvering myself toward the end of the yardarm, I chastised myself for having obeyed so quickly. I should have forced him back down. Dangling up amongst the rigging is no place for a cultivated gentleman. Bold and daring, he stepped out onto the yard and began to hack at the rope. Wave after wave rocked the ship. Had I not been greatly concerned that the entire boat was about to be ripped to pieces in the storm, I could have enjoyed our little moment, straddling the yard, our fingers numb as we sawed at the rope. I've had worse first dates. Together we made quick work of it, moving down the yard from starboard to port. At last the heavy sail dropped free. Thunder boomed. A glittering fork of lightning stabbed down at the ship. The Revenge answered back with a resounding crack. The mizzenmast burst into flame. Scorch marks spread down the side, weakening the wood. Another crack, and the mizzen split, sending a rather substantial chunk of flaming wood toppling straight for us. Samuel panicked and forgot he was perched atop a narrow wooden beam some distance from the ground. He tried to run, but his foot slipped. I grabbed for him, caught him just by the back of his fine swallowtail coat. "Hang on to me," I shouted. The instant I felt his arms intertwine my waist, I let go of the yard. And the 1 second before we plummeted to our deaths, before the blazing mizzen crashed down on our heads, I grabbed the rigging and swung us down to safety. Let me rephrase that last bit. The deck of the Revenge was safe, but only in the relative sense that a giant crocodile that might possibly eat you is safer than one that actually has your head in its mouth and is pouring some rosemary and basil on it. I watched Aaliyah run back and forth from bow to stern, straining to push back the monstrous winds. She seemed to be having some success at it. The waves merely smacked at the side of the ship as opposed to outright pummeling them. Something still troubled me, though. With the ocean subdued, I could see the ship set too low in the water. Could the ship really be sinking? No, not my precious sweet Revenge. Johann, the cabin boy, suddenly emerged from below deck, completely drenched. Just a tidbit of information. Johan was actually older than many of the pirate crew. We fought for a while to call him Cabin Man, but it seems to make some people feel uncomfortable. He looked about the deck, his brown eyes wide with fear. "The captain! Where is the captain?" he said. "What is it, Johan?" I called to him, but either he didn't hear or he was too befuddled by the storm to answer. Samuel and I followed Johan to the Captain Yuki, who stood beside the lieutenant at the wheel. "Captain, we're taking on water. The hold is swamped." "Yes, this is a ship. It is surrounded by water. Sometimes water gets in the ship. Deal with it," Captain Yuki said. She hardly gave him the slightest glance as she spoke. Her eyes stared out into the water at something far off. I could hardly see beyond an arm's length away. "Aye, Captain, of course. But you see, there's a terrible amount of water down there. And, well, the pump isn't working." Johan prepared himself for the reaction, ducking down and covering his ears. "Then figure it out! Make it work! Can't you see we have bigger problems right now?" Captain Yuki bellowed. Even the wind couldn't silence her. Johan rushed off. "Bigger problems than the ship sinking? You're mad!" Samuel said. Lightning flashed again and small shards of burning wood dropped all around us. "Oh, look, the ship is on fire. The ship is sinking and it's on fire. Both, at the same time. We should abandon ship." "Never, Captain Yuki," and I shouted in unison. "The waves are calming down. We can ride it out," I added. "Captain, the rudder! She must have snagged on something," Lieutenant Fairclough said. Sure enough, the wheel spun loosely in her hands. "Just as I thought," Captain Yuki said. "Now what?" Samuel asked. The captain pointed. It took some time before I found the object, and even then it was using a gold-plated spyglass the crew had bought me for my last birthday. Off in the distance, hovering just on the horizon, a faint brown mass. Land. But not any we had ever charted. "Nothing's wrong with the rudder. We're being dragged." Sister Lucinda crossed herself. Several other pirates muttered superstitious curses. "Dragged? By what?" I asked. "By the same person who has flooded our decks, clogged our pump, and brought this unholy storm upon us. In other words, forces yet to be determined. We'll know as soon as we reach that island. We're heading straight toward it." Captain Yuki slammed her fist down on the ship's railing. From the strain on her face, I could see the endless, unquenchable wrath that churned and frothed inside her. I understood her feelings. How dare any creature, man or beast, attempt to destroy her ship or harm her crew? She was too good a captain, though, to let her emotions show for very long. "All right, lasses. Keep a lookout. Something fiendish is about to cross our path, and I want you all to be ready to shove a cutlass in its gut when the time comes. Now get down into the hold and start bailing, or I'll murder every last one of your grandmothers!" The crew jumped into action. Standing still now, the cold suddenly intensified. I searched around for my red cape, but there was no trace of it anywhere on the deck. Likely I'd been swept out to the sea. I'd not be able to get another one until the end of the voyage. Samuel mistook my shivering and sorrowful expression. "Are you afraid?" he asked, putting a reassuring arm around my shoulder. I watched Captain Yuki strut to the bow. She took out her pistol and began to clean it, never taking her eyes off the distant piece of land. "There is only one thing I fear in this world," I told him, "and thank God that she's on our side."